Hello, friends, and welcome once again to episode 34 of the Kings of Anglia podcast in that region. Yeah. My name is Mark Heath. I'm back after a week away. I'm sure you're all delighted. With me as ever is Andy Warren.
Hi, I'm delighted.
And for the second week in a row, I'm very pleased to say that we've got a special guest in the form of Mr. Michael Bacon.
Popular demand.
Absolutely, the people want
off the
it.
Off the bench again, yes.
Have we binned off Watson?
Well, Watson, should we call him Judith Chalmers, is on holiday again. I worked out actually...
Weren't you on holiday last week?
I did have a week off, yes. Yeah, okay. I'm allowed a week off. But I worked out earlier that of the 12 Ipswich Town games that Town have actually played so far, Stuart Watson, chief football writer for the East Anglian Daily Times Ipswich Star, has missed five of them.
Well, that's unbelievable. Although, to be fair...
Scandal. Absolute scandal. I should be having words when he gets back.
I do miss him. I'm missing him already. Because I sit next to him, you see. You see me and Mark, he sits in between us, doesn't he? And we do miss him because he's not there, is he? And he's
quite... Otherwise, we just have angry words.
That's right, we have to look at each other.
I think he's allowed time off.
Well, yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Legally, he isn't allowed legally time off. Speaking, but it's controversial, yes, as you know, within these walls, to take any time off.
Journalists don't take time off.
No.
I watched an episode of Pole Darks.
Oh, no. On Netflix, I heard this last week. Are you really using Netflix to watch Polar?
It was quite upsetting one though, because it was a very upsetting one. So I'm going to watch another
one. Did he keep his shirt on? Was that
his shirt was still on? But I was going to watch the next one because that's happier. But I've had to park it.
Is there anything else you're watching on Netflix, or is it literally just Polar?
Polar. I can't watch too much. Polar at the moment. That's about it. Yeah.
Good.
Excellent.
Andy, what are you watching on Netflix at the moment?
I'm actually re-watching Line of Duty on Netflix.
That is superb. Yeah. Have you seen Line of Duty?
I've never seen Line of Duty.
It's good.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I watched it. And I believe there's a new series coming out. So I'm
next year?
Yeah. So I'm getting in early.
Yeah.
I'm re-watching it.
The whole catalogue.
Yeah.
Series 3 was the best for me.
I'm on Series 2. Yeah, Series 3, very good.
Series 4, slightly disappointing. The Bodyguard.
I haven't seen Series 4.
Haven't you?
Yes, this is why I'm watching it, re-watching it from the beginning.
The Bodyguard, which everyone went mental about, from the same writer, I thought was a bit shite. Controversial.
I've not seen it, but I agree.
Yeah, good. Anyway, boys, that's enough for general...
I lost on FIFA 16.
16?
Yeah.
Why are you still wearing FIFA 16?
Because I don't understand the other two. Marcus Rashford just retired at 37. He was my striker.
Well, who were you playing with?
Wigan.
Wigan.
I don't know how.
So what year was this then?
I don't know. Years ago, but I was top of the list. So
Top of the Premier League.
Just share that because it's upset me a little bit.
Sad news.
Yeah, it was. I was going quite well and Rash was retired.
Did he have an Indian summer to his career with you at Wigan?
Yeah, he was brilliant. He scored hundreds of goals.
Goals?
I was just dribbling from one end of the pitch to the other. He was still very fast, but...
Did you just play on easy setting and win every game
10-0? Yeah. I don't win 10-0, but I win most games. But more, I did understand all my players in the end because they all had funny names and stuff because... I didn't seem to be able to sign anybody.
I love that you're playing FIFA on your own.
Me too.
This is brilliant.
Because you used that much.
Because the boys were always a kind of mask, weren't they, if you being able to play.
I was allowed to play because my kid, right, they played, so I could play sort of alongside them, but they've gone now. They're sort of like, they're doing different things, like girls and women and stuff, and so I'm left with
the PlayStation.
I don't understand any more than 16. They've actually got FIFA 17, but I don't understand that, so I'm still on 16.
What's the update on your oldest?
Oldest son is in Australia now. He's landed,
How's the mood in the Bacon household?
Well, it's a lot happier now, because the food bill was only 55 quid this week, which you'd rather 155. So I'm happy. My wife's not, but I am.
Good times. Has Tracy stopped crying yet?
She stopped now. But
excellent. Like it. Gentlemen, brings us to the end of what I like to call general banter. Stuart Watson hates that
yes,
term.
Yes, sir.
It's a very, obviously, very, very exciting week, boys, as we know. It's the return of Conor McGregor at UFC 229 this weekend.
Wow.
Excited about that?
Well, I don't really understand all this KFC stuff, because... I've never really seen much of it. There's all the big fight with McGregor and who was the other guy in that big fight recently?
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
No, the boxer.
You mean McGregor and Mayweather?
Floyd, that's the one. Yeah,
your friend of mine, Kieran Dyer, was out there.
Kieran knew. Yes, he knew Floyd. Yes, he went to Floyd's. Yes, he went to Floyd's outpad, didn't he? Yeah,
he did tell us that story. He did.
So I was into that a little bit because I sort of knew Mayweather, but this like I say, this KFC stuff, I don't really understand. Certainly looks very aggressive. And
why have we jumped to this? This is point,
no, no. That
I'm
was,
not
up here. This was a facetious intro.
This is point
course,
five on our agenda.
We'll get to the UFC in a minute. Don't you worry, friends and listeners, because I know you're all fight fans out there.
I was being facetious,
wasn't I? By saying it's exciting.
How do you pronounce his name?
For me, is the most exciting thing about the weekend. But of course, in this context, we've got to talk about Ipswich Town playing Swansea, which is very, very exciting. But first of all, let's reflect, friends, on the defeat to Middlesbrough on Tuesday, because you were both there. Give me your thoughts.
My thoughts are Ipswich Town were beaten by a team that is better than them. I think you could see that in most departments, that man for man, the players were better than the Ipswich players. And to that regard, you can't just give them a two-goal start, which they did after 16 minutes. And from there, I think the game was done, sadly. They were much better in the second half. A lot of that because you would think a Tony Pulis side that's, you know, 2-0 up isn't going to be chasing threes, fours, fives. They were sat in a little bit. But Ipswich played better in the second half, played some decent stuff. But in the main, I think they were roundly beaten by a team that was better than them.
They were allowed to be better in the second half, weren't they, basically? Borough was just...
Did you watch it on the old TV? Yeah, pretty much.
You can't give teams two-goal starts at any level of football. You certainly can't against a Tony Pulis side. He'll absolutely destroy you with that. I mean, the team talk at half-time, well, the team talk after 25 minutes would have been, that would do nicely.
Well, they don't concede goals, do they, Borough?
They've conceded four all season. And
yes, Ipswich did play better in the second half, but as we said, Borough rather allowed them to have more possession. What can you say? It's, you know, I was the Birmingham game saw them, in a good position of 2-0 half-time. People talk about confidence, and if the confidence will start to return, if they just get a good lead, well, you're not going to get much of a better opportunity at 2-0 with 45 minutes to go, and it fell away. And against Mills, quite honestly, if you're going to be brutally honest, it was just, once the second goal went in, I mean, most of us could have packed up and gone home. They were never going to win from that point. Because Mills were very good, very decent side for a start.
There was one moment we looked at each other, didn't we? I think it was when the left back George French, they just calmly played the ball out from their own corner quadrant area, didn't they? And just
ended up on our right wing.
Yeah, and it was all very calm, and it was so slick, and you just couldn't see Ipswich doing that, especially not on Tuesday night. They've played in patches in every game that Ipswich have played this season, but it's about sustaining it, and whatever they did on Tuesday wasn't.
And I thought the big positive was Chalabar. Trev, is it Trevor? Chalabar?
Yeah,
big Trev.
This
big
split. Trev. Split opinion.
Well,
by the way, Mike.
Yes, I thought he was. I thought he was decent on Tuesday night. And how old's he? 18, 19?
19.
Well, I mean, for a 19-year-old, I thought he looked really good. And
he was man of the match, wasn't he? Was it your man of the match?
We both thought we were both so impressed. I tweeted as such, and some of the fire that was returned.
Really?
I think people were less than impressed. I watched the goals back and he was maybe a little, I don't think you can necessarily say he was at fault for the goals, but he was a little slow in getting back in certain situations. But on the ball, I thought he was really good. He wanted the ball, he demanded the ball, he was looking to use the ball, was brave with it, and maybe he'd be better deployed a little further up the pitch.
What I liked about him is he wanted the ball. I'm a great believer, and I try and talk my son this when he plays football, be brave. When I say be brave, and when coaches say be brave, they don't mean be brave as in flying on tackles. They mean, are you brave enough to want the ball? Will you take it off the centre half? Will you take it off the fullback and turn and look suddenly in front of you? You've got like 10 opposition, but you're brave enough to take that. And he was all night, even when they're 2-0 down. Give it to me, he was saying, give it to me. No, okay, he's not a Jim McGilton. He's not a finished article by any stretch, but he's only a young lad. And if he's brave enough to want to take that on, I thought he was one of the positives.
He's been frustrating at times because he's clearly got that ability, but he does have moments where he switches off. He has moments where he makes the wrong choice in the way that he turns and can turn into trouble. But in terms of being on the ball, you can tell he's a sort of a Chelsea graduate, can't you? He's comfortable and he knows what he wants to do with it. It just doesn't always come off, but that's what you get with teenage football players, isn't it?
And I think honestly, it's the goal situation where the goals are going to come from. Still, I know they've got a couple at Birmingham, but still, overall, you wonder where that big goal threat is. I mean, especially from the midfield. I mean, I know Nolan again scored at Birmingham, but where are the goals coming from? To win football matches. And
I was going to ask you this actually, Mike, because I don't know if we've mentioned this to our listeners before, but Mike Bacon, formerly Coach of the Year, Suffolk Coach of the Year, 2000, exactly. You barely ever mention that at all. I thought it might be quite interesting to ask your take on the game with the coach's eye on it. What was the obvious things kind of stand out for you? I mean, obviously we've talked about the fact that strikers are frequently isolated. Was there anything else that stood out for you?
Well, I think what stood out for me mostly was the fact that I'd love to see a home side get on the front foot. That's always been my big, you know. You can go back to how Manchester United are playing now. Manchester United are getting pilloried by their fans for not being the way we've always known Manchester United. It's not a case of looking back in the day. If you start on the offensive, very strong, very fast, two up front, getting at them, you just create fear in the opposition. Mm. It's not just this season's Ipswich Town. I think for many seasons Ipswich Town now, they haven't created enough fear in the opposition at home. And playing two up front, I would think, or certainly one very close to one off, is at home. Away from home is a different, it's a totally different animal. You know, you play one up, most teams play one up front in general, but certainly away from home you're likely to, although I think we'll play two up front. Mm. But you're more likely to. I think that's what I'd like to see more, because I think if you get on the ball, I mean, Ipswich have two holding midfielders in Skews and Chabar in front of the back four at home, and that was something, of course, fans were very anti last season, how we've always got all these defensive players on the pitch. But they're not defensive players. They need just to get forward a lot more, and I think taking the game to the opposition is something they just don't do enough, especially at home. Away from home, you don't expect them to play two up front and wingers and everything else, but at home, I think you fans expect a bit more, and I think the fans will get behind it. I'm disappointed with set pieces at Ipswich Town. I don't think the set pieces at the moment particularly good. I don't see anything other than just a punt into the box. Bear in mind, this is Paul Hurst, who had some good set pieces set up.
This is the big hope, wasn't it?
And they've had one or two. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, none. But again, Ipswich not a very tall team, are they?
Not especially. Jordan Graham's set piece delivery isn't for me.
No.
Necessarily.
No.
I think
it's too flat.
Too floaty.
Or floaty or flat,
yeah. Yeah, and you're not. You can't think of. I think Chambers has had a few this season, but you can't think of a time when you've got big Toto and Ciala sort of dominating people in the box. Maybe, you know, I haven't looked into his particular goal scoring record actually. Maybe I will now. But you'd think that someone of that size could cause a bit of fear in the opposition.
And I think taking the ball off the goalkeeper. I mean, it's. You know, Gergen's always looking to perhaps play the ball short. I mean, Middlesbrough did it a lot. They played the ball short, and a lot more teams again do this. They do play the ball at the ball. You know, the punt down the pitch is very old fashioned now. I mean, it still happens. Don't get me wrong. You see it in plenty of games, but overall, starting from England right through down to kids football, you know, a lot of it's to try and get the ball off the fullback, and then that's when we talk of brave for our centre midfielders, defensive centre. Then they come to get the ball, and then it's a slow process. Or you move. That's a process of moving through. But when the nerves start to sink in and the confidence starts, then no one really wants it. I mean, okay, attackers will mark up, sometimes it's impossible, but often players won't want it. And that's starting to show a little bit of Ipswich, yeah. I think. It's a little bit of, well, I don't really want to take it off.
Given the strikers that are available now, you've got to be doing that, haven't you? Taking the ball at the back. Because Caden Jackson, he played 45 minutes and sure, he wasn't, especially didn't stand out particularly, but he's having balls fired into his head. Mm. He's having balls fired into his chest. There was one that he flicked on really nicely, wasn't there? And then he turned round and he was like,
oh, I said to you, I said, it's me. I said he's just flicked that on to nobody because he's the only striker.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be running onto this. And
there's a huge difference between someone like Jackson, who I think is a decent player, but you know, Daryl Murphy's a Championship player, you know, and still a Championship player, you know, and what he would do with the ball played up to him is colossally different to what Jackson can do with it, you know. And I know you say, well, it's a different class of player, but it's the same league they're in. Where it's a different class of player is irrelevant. That, you know, well, it's not irrelevant, but they're playing in the Championship. You need a big man to hold that. If you're going to do that, you've got to hold it up. And I know Jackson was working his socks off, but it's not his game.
And with no Ellis Harrison and no John Walters, that's really bad luck for Hurst.
That
there.
Is
but
Walters particularly.
But what's behind him? Like you've got to now use what's there, and that's the concern for me. Sears had a bit of joy in the second half.
I feel so sorry for Freddie, though, as I say, because obviously he's been out of favour significantly, and then suddenly they lose a couple of strikers, and it's essentially, go on, Freddie, go and score us a few goals now, no problem.
That's just about the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I like seeing Freddie forward rather, stuck out on the wing like he was with under McCarthy for all those years was terrible. But again, it's no good firing up high to him. He's got to get to his feet and he's got to turn. And then Freddie's the sort of player who'll come to try and look for the ball. And when he turns, well, he's the one who should be in the box because he's so keen to get that ball. He did it a couple of times where he went and got the ball, but of course, there's no one then in the box.
Yeah. Danasian, wasn't it? Put in three really, really good crosses.
Superb crosses.
And each one of them just flew through the box because there was no.
And Gary Lineker could have had a hat trick with those three.
It was similar actually with Chalabar. They were singing his praises on Sky, saying what good balls he was putting in. But again, there was no one there, was there? So greatly frustrating. Right. Let's move on. Is there anything else before we move on to highlight? Good to see Andre Dizel.
on the grass.
He put, what, 14 minutes or so he played?
Yeah, he played 15 minutes, yeah.
Looked all right, didn't he? So there was a couple of really nice sliding balls played in behind defence.
Mm.
Again, wanted the ball.
He plays passes that you can't coach. I've always said this. You can't coach passes, the sort of passes he does. And there's no good anyone coach saying, oh, yes, we can, because you can't. It's vision, and he sees things. And they don't always come off, but I think a couple came off and one didn't. But he just plays balls. He plays balls almost behind him. He always plays a ball. He's got eyes at the back of his head. You know, he can see a movement. But of course, you know, fair play to Paul Hurst and all this fitness stuff. And if he's concerned about Dazelle, I take my hat off to him for being brave enough to look after Dazelle, because I think that's the right thing to do. A lot of managers would just patch those. Oh, I can't worry about that. Go and get on that pitch, boy. And to be fair, if they're genuinely concerned about him, then fair play. I just, you know, and I don't know enough about the sports science to say otherwise. But certainly he's a big plus when he is fit.
You know, he didn't rule out the possibility of him starting. We'll go on to Swansea in a bit, but he didn't rule out the possibility of him starting at Swansea at the weekend. He did stress that in his view he's nowhere near ready for 90 minutes, and that's, you know, that fits with the staging and everything they've done with Andre to this point. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he started. And if you're playing with a nippy striker like Harrison, Jackson or Sears, and you're trying to get these guys in behind. That's
what you need.
That's what you need.
Through balls, cutting in between defenders, particularly in between the fullbacks. You get balls inside fullbacks, defenders hate that because their centre half sort of comes across, the fullbacks run at it, and everyone's right, so you're going to get a corner if nothing else. And it's those little passes in through that Zell sees. So let's hope.
Time will tell. Let's draw a line under Middlesbrough then. Yes. Never talk about it again, never think of it again, never speak of it again.
Okay,
moving on.
Before we get onto something that might be a little bit more dark, can I interrupt with a fun game?
What for?
I've brought a fun game with me. This game is a fun game only involving you, Mike Bacon.
Oh, brilliant! Great. How hard?
Because
what about me?
Not today. Because you know you pop up on the podcast now and again, but I thought people could maybe get to know you a little bit.
Oh,
this game is called
idea.
Getting to Know You.
We need a theme tune. Can you put something in on the edit here?
I'll try. Yeah. See if I've got time.
This game is
called Getting to Know You. I've got some questions written down here.
Brilliant.
And I want a rapid fire answer. Yeah. Can you do that?
No thinking.
You mean like 007 did in Skyfall, when they sit him in front, he has to give them answers.
Ah, yes. But
exactly.
Not that sort of answer, please.
Because he said lots of rude answers.
No swearing. Okay. Well, you can swear if you want.
You want more swearing.
I do want more swearing, but Mike worries me.
If you want to swear, go for it. Are you ready?
Friend.
Name?
Michael Bacon.
Occupation?
Sports journalist.
Yep. What's your nickname?
Baco.
Yeah.
One take bake.
What is the best type of egg preparation?
Scrambled.
Correct. Childhood dream, what was it?
Wonder Woman.
who is your muse?
Who's my muse?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Who inspires you?
Who inspires me? Yeah. Daniel Craig.
what do you think of Mark Heath in three words?
Bloody good chap.
Yes.
Correct. Name someone from Canada.
Ben Johnson.
Good.
Correct. Good. Biggest achievement in your life.
Reaching the 1984 British Under 21 Cycle Speedway Final, where I came eighth.
Aren't you going to say children?
No.
How old are you?
46.
Oh.
What's your favourite colour?
Blue.
Who would win in a fight between me and Stu?
You.
Correct. In one word, describe the Kings of Anglia podcast.
Colin.
Correct.
Excellent. I enjoyed that.
Did you? Good answer.
Play outro in the edit. There we go.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed that. So now, hopefully, you feel like you know Mr. Mike Bacon a little bit more.
Excellent. Let's
I enjoyed the answers there. And that, so from the sublime to the ridiculous, which is chat today, again, Mr. Paul Hurst, Hollywood Hurst. I've negated calling him that recently because I'm not sure he earned it. But
he also really doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it, I know. He doesn't understand why,
does
he?
Are you aware of that, Mike?
I'm aware he doesn't like it.
He does not like it.
Has it been mentioned again?
No.
No.
Can I interrupt again? Stu's just sent some holiday snaps.
Oh, excellent. Let's have a look.
Yeah. He's in Dubrovnik.
Oh, lovely.
There's a little picture of him on the Game of Thrones Iron Throne.
Oh, fantastic.
Because you know Dubrovnik is King's Landing, where they film Game of Thrones.
Fantastic.
And that's the view from his crib.
Oh, that's lovely. It
looks really nice.
What he won't be doing with these pictures, of course, is putting them on Instagram, because he refuses to post on Instagram, despite the fact he's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of me. Sorry.
As I say, Andy, moving on. Going to the ridiculous, as I was saying, sport my perfect link. Paul Hurst has once again forced to take questions from you lot in the press today about his future. Obviously, still winless going into the second international break of the season if they don't get a result in Swansea, which we'll come to in a minute. Ridiculous, isn't it? Far too soon to be talking about his future. And Marcus is never going to get rid of him. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's you know, how long is a piece of string? Which is a very boring phrase, but that's the bottom line, isn't it? I mean, of course, the last thing Mark Selden wants to do is get rid of Paul Hurst. The last, really, Ipswich Town fans, most Ipswich Town fans want really for Paul Hurst to fail at this point. But how long does it go on for? This is the problem. You got Swansea on Saturday. Tough, tough game. I think they've got QPR when they come back, which,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, we've said this of other games where, oh, that might be half a chance. The bottom line is it's now down to results. No one's really interested anymore in any sort of performance, any sort of anything. Excuses won't wash about, well, there's some positives, there's this, that, and the other. If we keep losing 3-0, 2-0, 1-0, it's gonna have to come, isn't it? But let's hope not. I mean, let's hope not. Let's hope he just gets that win or two and suddenly
just needs a bit. That's my feeling. They just need a little bit of luck. If they can just get that first win, I get the feeling then it'll start to snowball and we'll see things.
I mean, the question about talking about his future is very relevant. Of course, the situation within everyone's. I mean, Steve Bruce has just lost his job with Villa about half a dozen places higher than Ipswich. And Villa fans, I heard him on the radio, some moaning about how rubbish the football is, how hopeless they are, and you know, and all the rest of it. So, of course, talk about his future is relevant, but. I think it's a very sad day for Ipswich Town if they have to get rid of him. And I don't mean that should they get rid of him, if they feel they have to get rid of him. I think that'd be very sad because I think they've tried something here. And if this backfires, well, where do you go next?
It'd be very embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah, it would certainly be a massive U-turn from Evans, because you alluded to it there, Mike. You imagine what kind of appointment it's going to be. You're not going to be going out and... any kind of appointment that you make now is not going to be a new era and trumpeted and
treading water.
Let's be
keep
safe,
us up.
And that's a real concern at this point. Dropping into League One is a real concern, and I must say at this point we talk about League One sometimes as if it's going to be
walk in the park.
Well, yeah, some kind of magical mystery tour of enjoying new grounds. It could be something fresh and exciting. I don't think that's the case. I think it would be an absolute disaster if Ipswich Town was relegated to League One. Sure, they could bounce back straight away and it could be really positive. It could be. Of course it can. Teams do it. But it's not a tactical risk that you should be taking. It's not something that should be welcomed. It would be making the best of an awful situation if they were to do that. So first and foremost, I think that's got to be Evans's thinking, isn't it? Does he see enough for Paul Hurst to keep Ipswich in the Championship in year one of what is surely a long-term project?
And of course there's the, you know, if Ipswich dropped into League One, there's the financial issue of that, of millions they would not get compared to what they do get now. And Evans is clearly financially driven, otherwise you know, I mean, that's why he doesn't run the football club. I mean, he obviously loses money on the football club, or he pours a lot into it still, we know that, but he's not going to go spending fortunes on money he doesn't feel he has to spend. But he would lose, well, the club would lose millions just in revenues of all sorts.
So that's got to be the thing, isn't it? First and foremost, do you see he's appointed Paul Hurst for a reason, and they would have talked at length of what the plan is. Does Marcus Evans see enough of that plan in action now, is the first question. And then the next question is, to year one of that plan certainly does not involve relegation to the Championship, and does he see enough for this group of players and Paul Hurst to keep them up? And they're the questions, and one man answers them. We can all talk about this,
and his future's right, we talked about it, but I just think if in 5 games time we're sitting here they still haven't won a game,
if we're talking 5 more games and they haven't won a game, let's talk 6 more games, because
that's next international break, is it?
It is, yeah. But also, in that time, Ipswich play QPR, Reading, Preston, Millwall. 4 teams who, I might be wrong, I think they're all in the bottom 6 at the moment. They're certainly in Ipswich's bracket.
Yeah.
You've got Swansea, obviously, and then Leeds in there, which is a free hit. But if you get beyond that and you still haven't won, chances are Ipswich are going to be cut adrift in there. And that's...
It's already starting to look a little bit like that, isn't it? When you look at the table...
There's, you talk about 2 wins making a real difference, and as time's gone on, those 2 wins make less of a difference. But you know, if it was me, I would certainly be giving Hurst those games the run after this break. I absolutely would be.
Mm.
But
it's really difficult because you don't, as you said, you do not want Ipswich Town to get relegated. That is, as you said, it's no fun being in League One.
Yeah,
you know, you're not
going
to bounce straight back. All this
You look at people go Leicester. Yeah, they went down, they came back up, and they won the Premier League.
There's one or two who have gone down and come up, but a lot haven't. And
the two Sheffield clubs got stuck down there. Charlton are still there. Portsmouth and Coventry are different cases because. Yeah. heavy financial situations there, but they've plummeted down, they've gone to League 2, those two teams.
Mm.
There's all sorts of teams, like Oldham, Swindon, who have been in the Premier League, never even got back to the Championship level. It's not a fun place to go. It's not let's go down, rebuild, it'll be fun, get some positivity, get the crowds back. It doesn't work like that, sadly.
But do you not have to, once you've stated the new way of doing things, and this is our man, and we're doing this, that, and the other, and sports science this, and training that, and all that sort of stuff, do you then just blow it up just because it's not started very well?
I don't think you blow it up because it's not started very well, but do you if relegation to League One is
I think
it's going to happen? I don't think we're at that point. I don't think we are at that point yet. I don't think relegation's a certainty. No, far from it. But but if it gets to that stage.
It's interesting because you're not as outraged by the idea as I thought you'd be in terms of the possibility. Not personally, but you know, the potential chances of something potentially happening in 5 games' time.
That's 5 games is a long way away.
Of course it is. Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and I don't think the answer is certainly not to get rid of him now. No chance. I don't think that at all.
I mean, the thing is with most new managers is they start with a bounce. Not a plummet, and we've started. Hurst started with a plummet. He hasn't started with any sort of kickstart at all. I mean, you could think of managers take over off, and you know, it might take them a couple of games, but usually things start to move.
Yeah,
that's why people get rid of managers. That's why people take on new managers, give the whole everything a new lease of life. It's the turnover of players. I think has been Hurst's biggest issue. Not Hurst himself, the person. Mm. I think perhaps someone somewhere there has taken on. We've just taken on too many players, and that's the issue. Not whether Paul Hurst is a good manager or not. He's, of course, a decent manager.
He hasn't achieved what
he's done by being a hopeless manager. Mm. He's a decent manager, but I think there's a lot of circumstance in all this, apart from just the obvious.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of circumstance of players, and even stupid things.
Bad luck as well.
Walters getting injured.
Another bad one.
You know, look, things are just not going, and well, we'll see.
Okay.
That's just the way that I would see Evan's thinking going. I would love for Paul Hurst to be a big, big success at Ipswich. I really like him, and I think we get accused of really liking him, which we do. He's a good man, and what he's trying to do is an incredibly hard job. He's pointed out today, well, it didn't need pointing out, but you know, you look in the Championship, and you're almost, there's 24 Championship managers' jobs, but they're all so different. Like Steve Bruce has been fired from a job where he's expected to win promotion. Paul Hurst's job is to reinvigorate and get Ipswich Town moving forward again. And going down to League One shouldn't be part of that plan.
That's, no.
Well, let's be honest. If Evans is happy, in quotes, and with a small H, to be relegated, then he'll stay. But I can't believe that is, regardless of the plan or not, is irrelevant. If Evans says, I'll take the hit, because I think he's building something, then all this talk is just pointless because he's going to be here for the whole season.
And
that's
the right answer then, isn't it?
If that's
what Evans is happy to do, then that is the right answer.
But only Evans knows that, doesn't he?
I'm not sure he would see that as the right answer.
I don't think he would, but what I'm saying is he knows if that's how he feels.
I was surprised by the direction of this conversation.
What were you expecting?
Well, I thought it'd be No, absolutely not. I thought it'd be a staunch kind of, it's never going to happen.
No, it's just both sides of the argument.
I think it could happen. Sadly, I think it could happen. If Ipswich don't start winning a couple of games, the confidence really does start to plummet. And Hurst has got to look for what? More players? More players? More on loan players to bring in? Who are these people going to... You know, you've got what you've got now.
But then who do you get in? You know, you're back to Steve Bruce and Simon Grayson and...
Oh, if they got rid of Hurst?
Yeah.
I dread to think.
Let's not even think about it.
That's surely part of the conversation though, isn't it? If you're going to get rid of him, you've got to think who's going to come in and turn things around.
It depends... Look, I don't think certainly not now. It's not the time to get rid of Paul Hurst. No, not now.
We all agree on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I think a lot of people would agree on that. He's had nowhere near enough time. But all I'm saying is go five more games and give him the context of those games and who, assuming if we're talking about things not being so successful after those five games, then you're going to be in a situation, aren't you?
Mm.
A real situation, whereas they're not at the moment.
And what you got to remember is, they've only just appointed Hurst a few months ago, so for us to sort of speculate who else could come in, well, I'm sure whoever we think might could come in 2 months' time was on the radar 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And Evans didn't see him as the right person. He's chosen Hurst. So yeah. I think he's got to go with it for a while yet.
I'd hope he does. I'm just saying that I can see how an owner of a football club might be thinking, and I sincerely hope that there's good reason to carry on with Paul Hurst, because a new era doesn't start. It is a new era. It's a completely new pointing for the football club in theory, and it should be given time. It should be given time to happen. But if it doesn't, I think we all know what kind of manager they're going to go back for, and that's not a new era,
it's an old era. Likely to be an old era.
How depressing. And you got any more games to cheer us up?
I haven't got any more games.
I was quite chirpy when we played that game a little while ago. Have I got any games? Yeah, I can play, so I know lots of games. But
we better not play your games.
It was involved down the pub.
Yeah, let's move swiftly on. We want to keep it quite short today, so let's keep Swansea brief. Your thoughts on Swansea?
Andy Warren.
Obviously, on paper, you'd say they're going to do well to get anything out of Swansea, much less a win.
Yep, they're seventh. They're finding their groove by all accounts. They move the ball really nicely, quickly. They've got Bersant Salina in their team, and Cameron Carter-Vickers is on their bench.
Yeah,
not playing.
What chance that Town bring in some kind of free agent striker? Zero, isn't it? Before Swansea, zero.
I asked him about that today, and the answer was any progress. The answer was very flat. No, a smile. Not a smile as in, no, there's something to tell you, but no as in, you know the answer was going to be no. But look who's out there. Did we talk about this on the last one?
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Leon Best, who's out there?
Aaron Drynan.
Well, this is your time to shine.
Wow. If he comes back. So, yeah, so Swansea, what do you want to come away from the Liberty Stadium having seen? I mean, obviously,
a win
would be nice. Yeah, that's the obvious answer, but in terms of performance and team that he puts out, something positive.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, if they get a point at Swansea and play really decent, and, you know, Dizel puts a through ball in the last 10 minutes through to
Sears
who's side foot under the keeper, and it's 1-1, and they fit, that'll be a top result.
Of course it is.
Anything else is perhaps a little bit predictable. If Swansea win 2 or 3-0, I don't think anyone's going to be very, very disappointed, but I mean, I don't think he's stunned by the result. Let's just hope they put in a performance. You know, the whole thing with Birmingham was disappointing from the point of view of where they were at, you know, and Middlesbrough, well, it was over after 20 minutes, so this would just be nice to have a full 90 minutes of competitive, you know, give themselves a chance.
I think that's all you want, isn't it? I think you need to be, sometimes perhaps the blinkers need to be taken off at the moment, because the headline screaming stat is that they've not won any of their games, and I think at times we can all be guilty of overlooking things that are positive, and like a 1-1, like you've just said, that scenario you've just painted, that would be a really positive result for Ipswich.
It
should be viewed so, and that Hurst and the players deserve for that to be viewed in the positive light that it would be if they were to get that, just because it's not the win that they desperately need. You just need to take the blinkers off sometimes, but they do need to win a game of football soon. Not just for the points table, because you can earn 3 points in 90 minutes, but to earn 3 points from draws takes 3 weeks, and it would lift something, I'm sure, off of Hurst and the players if they could do that.
Fingers crossed. Before we move on to a shortened version of Mailbag, can we just take a second to pause and reflect on the fact that someone threw a cabbage at Steve Bruce this week before he got sacked? One of the more creative things you could lob at a manager.
With all the security outside grounds these days, do you think anyone looked at that cabbage and thought,
well,
shouldn't be bringing this in, or has someone just brought their shopping?
Or it's a half time snack, maybe. I don't know. Health. A
friend of mine bought a turnip in the other week. Stuffed it in his trousers.
You could cause more damage with a turnip than you could a cabbage.
That's a solid vegetable, isn't it?
But he likes turnips. And does he? Did have it at half time. That's what he had.
He had it raw.
Yeah, I know. He's weird.
You've got some weird friends.
That's not Portman Pete, is it?
No, not Portman Pete.
My friend Johnny got national social media attention last season because he was caught on camera at the Emirates eating a bag of carrot sticks.
Really?
And he
that's the sort of people you have at the Emirates, isn't it?
It's also the sort of person he is, quite frankly. But yeah, snacks at football.
He used to throw toilet rolls all the time.
No, they're doing damage though, are they?
No, but back in the day, the toilet rolls hurt them from the stand. It was always a great thing.
And now it's cabbages.
Now it's cabbages. Yeah. Anyway.
What sort of cabbage was it? Do we know?
I've no idea.
Oh. Don't really like cabbage.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Polish there's a Polish dish called bigosz, which is a curried cabbage dish.
Oh, right.
Very tasty.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
I like it boiled with some pepper.
Yeah.
Classic.
You've got to season it nicely.
It's got to be seasoned. Strong
I think
pepper.
I think that's my problem with it. Quite often it's not seasoned correctly, and it's just a bit, at that point.
I had borscht in Russia. Has that got cabbage in it?
Probably.
I think so. It was nice.
Toffee yogurts are my favourite.
Yeah? Would you ever lob one of them at someone?
No, I'd eat my toffee yogurt.
Excellent.
Excellent. Which brings us nicely onto mailbag, as I say. A shorter than usual version of mailbag, because we're on the minutes this week. Harry Butcher, who does Mark prefer, the Doctor or Hutch? Is Dazelle the key man to get Ipswich going again? Well, the answer to that, Harry, thanks for your question. I don't really like either of them. I much prefer my man, Mike Bacon.
Thank you.
So good to have you with us, Mike.
A pleasure.
How about you take this question, though, Andy?
You ducked that.
Yeah, I did. Success. It's like Floyd Mayweather, shoulder roll. Is Dazelle the key man to get Ipswich going again?
I think that's a lot to place on the shoulders of a teenage lad who is coming back from a cruciate knee ligament injury to carry the team and get them going again, but he's certainly got a role to play in there. He showed that in 15 minutes that he's got a role to play in there. Come on, he's a quality football player, but people do need to be patient with him because he has played very little football in his career, let alone over the last year. But there's a definite quality player in there who's shown that he's up to it, and hopefully he gets a chance to show it more.
Fingers crossed. Dim Zen, you better get this question right, Mike, because Dim Zen's avatar on Twitter is him with a gun.
Oh, gee.
So he's taking aim at you if you don't agree with him. He wants to know...
I agree.
He wants to know, is it fair that Marcus Evans receives so much criticism? He says, funds... Oh, we've got an intro into this live podcast. And she's... Is it breaking news?
Closing time.
Ah, okay. We'll have to climb over.
We'll climb over, it's fine.
She's probably just explained to the listeners what happened there. The receptionist knocked on the door and we all greeted her with a steely look to say, do not disturb this magic that we're creating.
She did not take the hint.
She did not take the hint. And just wanted to point out that we're currently closing, so we're going to have
to... 10 to 5.
...climb back over reception. When do we close at 10 to 5?
10 to 5.
No wonder people can't place an advert around here.
Exactly. Journalism, mate.
Sorry, what was my question?
Sorry, I've lost track. Is it fair that Marcus Evans receives so much criticism? Funds, some teams manage and succeed on similar budgets. Appointments, Keane, he had a promotion record. Jewell had a promotion record. McCarthy had a promotion record. And Paul Hurst's games to win ratio is good. And he's young and fans want to change. So is it fair that with that all taken into account that Marcus receives so much criticism?
Yeah, because he's the owner.
That's what I like
about
says it out like it is.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he gave Roy Keane a lot of money, who blew it all away and wasted a lot. So there's points of Mark Evans that are fair enough. He's rightly perhaps been burnt and just decided to go in different routes. And he's going down different routes now. He never gave McCarthy much money to spend. I mean, the money in and out was very much in Evans' favour. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the businessman in him. That's fine, you know. This is just football, and football seems to be run rather differently to most businesses, where you seem to just like throw money at everything. But I don't think the suggestion is about his appointments. His appointments, no one's even suggesting his appointments are poor. I mean,
no.
I think when Keane was delighted, and Jewell, everyone was, yeah, great. And McCarthy, when he was appointed, fine. I don't think anyone's suggesting his appointments. But he's going to have to take a little bit of responsibility if you think Hurst with more money and better players would be... have Ipswich further up the table. Now, if you think Hurst with better players would have Ipswich further up the table, then that is Evans' fault. not Hurst's.
Interesting. Kevin Mays, this one for you, Andy. Well, I think we've talked about this before, but you might as well address it again. Are the rumours of unrest behind the scenes true? There's a lot of rumours going around.
There's definitely been some feathers ruffled.
You'd expect it.
By new people coming in. I think this is how we talked about it last time. There's feathers ruffled. People have had their routines changed. Everything they've been used to has changed. And you know, it's ruffled a few feathers. From what we understand, it's nothing out of hand. It's kind of...
You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you, if the side's not won a game yet this season. There's going to be some unhappiness behind the scenes, isn't there? If there wasn't, you'd be concerned.
That's part of it, the fact they're not winning either. I mean, Hurst has come in, and he's a Yorkshireman, he's very blunt, he says it how it is. And with McCarthy, there was a feel-good factor among the squad. Was that healthy? I don't think so, because it detached itself slightly from the fans. In fact, it detached itself even more from the fans as the years went on, so it wasn't healthy. So Hurst has perhaps brought back the fans back on side, if you like, within the group, and it has ruffled a few feathers among the players, but they'll get over that. And as you say, you know, if they're all dancing around laughing and joking with 12, one in 12, we'd be more concerned than people getting on to each other or having a go or having a pop because they're frustrated, because that's what it's all about half the time. They're frustrated that everyone wants the same goal.
These rumours, some of them have been quite wild rumours, and I don't think they would be coming out if the team were comfortably in mid-table, would they? I think it's just what happens when things really aren't going very well.
You've also got to remember, in today's climate, that rumours are easier to start than ever now.
Everyone's got a Twitter account. They snowball, don't they?
They snowball very, very quickly, and as you say, with the current situation, there's going to be more around. Let's bring an end to Mailbag with this question for you, Andy Warren. Can you ask Andy Warren, this is from a lad called Tom Guest, can you ask Andy Warren who, in his opinion, is the greatest sports writer of all time? I'm assuming, Andy, this is a friend of yours.
Friend would be very loose.
Yeah.
Tom and I used to cover Worcester Warriors Premiership Rugby Club together in the late 2000s.
Okay.
For rival publications. And Tom is certainly not the greatest sports writer of all time.
In your face, Tom.
Absolutely not. He bailed on the profession and now makes an awful lot of money in recruitment.
Loser.
So, absolute loser.
You should stick with us where there's no money.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I bet he wishes he does. The greatest journalist of all time.
Sports writer.
Is a man called Mr. Gary Baker. And I'll tell you why.
I've never heard of Gary Baker.
Well, he's the best. He's the artist the Beatles could have been. But he once tweeted, presumably after quite a lot of wine, "I am a bloody good journalist."
Excellent.
And I for one believe him. Yeah. So I think he works in Wales area.
So you got that on the back of that tweet. That's your judgment of him.
Well, he told me.
Fair enough.
He said.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's better than you.
Oh, well, that goes without saying, my friend.
If you're asking me, Tom, it's Norman Mailer, but you've probably not heard of Norman Mailer. Tremendous writer from days of yore. Brilliant boxing writer. Mike Bacon.
Boxing. What?
Who's your favourite sports writer?
Johnny Jenkins. He worked on the Fife Chronicle.
JJ. Oh, yeah.
Do you know him?
Oh, no. Big fan of JJ.
And he used to write a lot about ice hockey.
Yeah.
Because it's big up in Scotland.
Fife Flyers.
The Fife Flyers.
There's a lot of ice in Scotland.
And his favourite catchline was, "If it's a haggis, eat it."
Good info. Excellent. Boys, we're coming to the end of the podcast. I said we finished by five. Obviously, we've got to talk about the UFC this weekend because it's massive.
Obviously,
Conor McGregor, the biggest sports star in the world,
almost,
is coming back. And also, breaking UFC news this week, our very own Arnold Allen, Ipswich Town fan, and someone that Mike Bacon could probably beat up, he reckons. He's got a huge fight in Las Vegas in November against Gilbert Melendez.
Are you going?
You should go.
If only Archon would pay for me to go out there.
You should go, shouldn't you?
I should really, shouldn't I? First class, turn left on the plane, all that sort of stuff. He's a big Ipswich Town fan, so it'd be good to have a few Town fans behind him when he has this huge fight in Vegas in November. Chaps, your thoughts on anything?
How do you pronounce Khabib Nurmagomedov?
It's Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Who's he?
That's
McGregor's
opponent.
He's the UFC lightweight champion.
I'd like to say good luck to Arnie Allen because he's a local lad.
I think it's extraordinary
with these sort of stories. I don't really like this KFC stuff. I don't know much about it, but I mean, to be fair, he's a local lad. And to be fighting in Vegas is extraordinary.
Isn't it?
I think it's fantastic. Isn't good luck. Yeah, absolutely. I'm always impressed with local sports people who do things that... We talk about Ipswich Town all the time, and rightly so, because they're a big thing in the town. There's lots of good sportsmen in this area, and this lad is obviously one of them. And,
what weight is he?
He's featherweight. He's 145 pounds.
McGregor's fought featherweight, isn't he?
He did fight featherweight, but he looked like he was on smack. to drop that much weight, he looked very, very thin indeed. So now he's at lightweight, which is 10 pounds heavier.
And is Tyson Fury fighting soon?
Tyson Fury is fighting Deontay Wilder.
I heard on the radio on the way in.
Not Las Vegas, Los Angeles, December the 1st.
Staples.
He's going to get bingoed, I'm afraid, I've got to tell you. Deontay Wilder's going to knock him the F out.
Is he?
Yes, that's my prediction.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Chaps, obviously, I
like
to
talk just
about...
to finish, by the way, I spoke to Marcus Stewart today.
Did you?
For the next Kings of Anglia.
How is
coming
he?
Up next month. He's absolutely fantastic. Marcus sends all his best wishes. He's a top man. We talked about the woolly gloves and everything else. And he's at Bristol Row, his assistant manager, doing absolutely superb. Lots to read about that, hopefully in the next magazine, which is obviously unplugging.
How did you meet Marcus Stewart?
Marcus was when I was editor of the Green. I don't know if I told you that. Yeah, I know.
You editor of the Green.
Okay, that'll do. And he was a columnist. He was the columnist the year he was also the top English goal scorer in the Premiership at that time.
And it's not a coincidence.
Just tell the story, because this is a little bit of a demonstration as to how things have changed. Because back in the day, when Marcus Stewart was the leading English scorer in the Premier League,
Thierry Henry was
Ipswich Town were about to finish fifth in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He used to write a column,
yeah,
and he used to come in to write said column, didn't he?
He used to come in and sit beside me, and he used to dictate what he wanted to say, and I used to type it out for him as we were chatting away. And he ended up, we set up an email account for him, which is quite similar as Twitter, I suppose, today. Ask questions on Twitter, we ask questions on email. And he had two pages of them, and he used to sit there and go through and answer. He's a top man, Marcus. I always liked him then as a player and as a person, and he hasn't changed, and he's still got time to chat, and he remembers Ipswich with great fondness.
Mm.
And he's actually said to us, he said, keep supporting the boys down there, won't you? He said, you lot in the media. He said, you're pretty good down there, he said. He said, up the town, and that's how we sort of left him. Yeah.
Imagine that, Andy, having someone come in to write a column for us.
Now we wait outside in the cold to be allowed to speak to people for 2 minutes.
It was it was a different era, and I know everyone says, well, it was different then, but there's no reason it couldn't be better than it is, but that's for another podcast altogether.
We could certainly do that.
We could do that.
That would be a good one. Chaps, any other business? We're approaching 5 o'clock. We've passed 5 o'clock, actually, so that's
are we genuinely going to have to climb over the security?
I think we are
going
to have to do 18 business to get back into the building.
We need to talk to the shadow.
Have you got your keys?
Well, she's locked it.
Where have you got your key for?
Oh, yeah. I left them at home today.
She buzzed us in, out.
Oh, so we can't get out.
Well, have you got yours?
No, I left mine at
Can we
desk.
Contact the shadowy answering figures about this?
I think we should.
Because this is not on.
You don't like getting locked in place anyway, do you?
No,
you've had stuck experiences.
What do we do then?
Just keep recording.
Should we do that?
12 hours.
This could be our final message to the world. Anything you want to say?
Any questions, anybody? Because we've got hours.
I wish I'd gone home earlier.
So we've got 9 hours till it opens up.
Chaps, we're rambling. Any other business?
Yeah, no other business.
No other business.
It's been tremendous to have Mike Bacon with us today, and I very much enjoyed your game, Andy Warren.
Thanks.
I hope the listeners at home enjoyed it too, and feel like they've got more to learn, know more about Mike Bacon, and follow him on Twitter, because he's good value.
Exactly.
Especially in the Speedway season.
Boom song, ping pong.
Exactly.
Boom, song,
Shabba ranks and all that sort of stuff. If you've enjoyed the podcast today, hopefully you have, please do subscribe on your various podcast providers. And also leave us a 5-star message review on iTunes, because we very much like those. Please do mention Mike Bacon in your reviews this time, just to let us know you've enjoyed having him on board.
Or if you didn't.
If you didn't, exactly. Yeah, tell us. But don't leave us anything less than a 5-star review. Next week, Hutch, you're away.
Yep.
Which means there will be no podcast, because no one else can do it.
Why have you not learned how to do it?
I don't understand how to do it, so it's no good looking at me.
I know you don't.
Well, there you go then.
Mike can barely turn a computer on.
Exactly.
I can just about turn a computer
Come
on. So, as I say, international
without.
Break, there will be a small break. Friends, so apologies for that, but then you're back a week after, and we'll do
I'm going to Berlin. I'm going to record it on my own.
I'll be down for that.
Oh, just cool. Me,
I'd listen to that.
I wouldn't. Let's go, come on, let's go.
Right, thanks for having you with us. We'll join you next time. Shabba ranks and all that sort of stuff.